Good morning, everyone. I believe today is a great day, and I believe that this is the best place to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm so grateful that we can declare His goodness. There's a subject on my mind that I'd like to share this morning about light and darkness. I believe that the Bible talks a lot about the two, and I want to share with you some verses this morning, and more specifically that darkness usually comes before light, okay? And that is a principle that we need to not only look at in our own lives, but it happened in the physical universe and creation as well. Darkness preceded light. And so the four realities of our existence are a physical darkness and light, and a spiritual darkness and light. So the verses that I'd like to share with you this morning, and I'd like to read through these fairly quickly, and I'd like for you to just concentrate on the word darkness, light, and see if there's a message here that the Lord is sharing with us. So in the interest of time, it'd be kind of hard to go through these individually with everyone going to the page, so I'm going to read through them quickly as if I could. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In Romans 13:11-12, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In John 12:46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John 3:14-21, which contains John 3:16 that we often quote, I want you to look at these verses in light of time salvation. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Let me repeat that again. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Psalms 84:11-12. For the Lord God is a sun, and that's spelled S-U-N, and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from him that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. In John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. In John 12:35-36, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. In John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And finally, in John 9:4-5, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. So we see a lot of references to darkness and light in these verses. And if I were to ask you our one blessing in life that we have, which is many things, physically speaking, I would have to say the one thing that we have that is required for everything else is light. For without it, we wouldn't have, you know, be able to live here on earth. It would be a very cold place if this were just a dark body without any star shining on it. And scientists say that absolute zero of 400 and approximately 60 degrees Fahrenheit in some parts of our universe is where there's no heat, no light, and no atoms can move. No work can be done. So I would like to say that, you know, without our sun, we wouldn't have any life. And I think, and I believe that the Lord declares so many times that light, it pictures Jesus Christ. And the verses that I read previous say that he is the light of the world. I think one of the most beautiful words in the Bible that we find in Genesis is that in 3, verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And we noticed that prior to that, there was darkness. The darkness over the whole earth. And the earth was void and it was covered with water. And it said the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. I believe this is a picture of us. We are dark. We, before being born again, we are darkness. There is no goodness in us, no righteousness in us. And when the Spirit of God, because we are chosen before the foundation of the world, chooses to put light in us, he does so sovereignly without us asking. And we are born again. And I love the fact that principle is established right in the beginning of the Bible. On day one, so the heaven and earth was created. On day two, the firmament above and below was created. On day three, the dry land of grass, seas, and trees was created. Day four, the sun was created, the moon and stars. Day five, fish and birds, and day six, animals, and finally men. So on day four, it's interesting that the sun was created. And my question would be, well, what was the light on day one? For everything that was created, I believe, was created on day one, and days two through six are times of manifestation. Okay, so God, I believe, was the light in the beginning. All right, and those being 24-hour periods, on day four when the sun was created and the stars also, it said, then that to me is a revelation of, I believe, spiritually in us, that we have Jesus Christ revealed in us. We're born again, but it's days later before we have the Son revealed in us, Jesus Christ. So we see a little bit of time there that God is the light that caused us to be born again, but we've got to grow up. We've got to learn. We've got to have other days of learning, of faith, and all the things that we learn about the Lord. But there's a day, I believe, when it pleased God to reveal the Son in us, and we see the Son for the first time. And that is a manifestation of His love for us, and that now we can start to begin to grow up and learn who the light of our life is. You know, it's interesting that our own earth follows the sun. I'll read some statistics to you that just blow me away. The galaxy that we live in, the Milky Way, about 125,000 light years across. Some would say even up to 200,000 because of the gas and other things, but it's a big galaxy, okay? And here it is, our little solar system is outward on one of the arms, and it's traveling around this galaxy, and it says that the galactic year of going around the galaxy is 230 million years. So we haven't gone very far around this galaxy, as you can see it, and that is 143 miles per second. Okay, so our sun then is taking its planets with it and revolving around the whole galaxy at 143 miles per second, whereas the Earth is orbiting around the sun at 18.6 miles per second. We have a lot of movement going on, and that right now we're moving very, very fast. And we're following the sun. Okay? Isn't that interesting? Now, the Earth rotates on its axis at 23.5 degrees to give our seasons at 1,000 miles per hour at the equator. And then you take the whole galaxy, a family of 100 billion stars, and you start moving it outward, and it's moving at 361 miles per second. Incredible. But the key point is that our Earth is following the sun. If you were to picture this, picture a topography map, and a lot of people, I understand, like to hike. If you had a hill, say like Kennesaw Mountain, and you were going around that hill, and you were going up and down a little bit as you circled around that entire hill. And while you're circling around that hill, you have nine balls representing the planets that have a string attached, and you're slinging them around your head as you're walking. If I were to walk around this podium, it'd be somewhat, and I'm going down and I'm going up. So our sun is actually traveling in and out of the galactic plane. It's going up and down like a roller coaster, traveling that fast, and carrying all the planets with it. Is the Earth got a choice? Could the Earth say, I'm going to hang a left here and head outbound? No, God keeps us together. And he keeps us such that we have light for life here on Earth. This little planet, I mean, I believe the whole universe is created for to declare God's glory. And that we, our home here, we live on the... You could say the greatest spaceship of all, a living, breathing spaceship that's moving that fast. And we are held by the sun in its gravitational pull, and we're traveling with it. And we're not going to go off and be alone. We're going to stay and remain. Isn't it something that we need to consider, that we need to stay close to Jesus Christ, who is called the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, with healing in his wings, okay? So I like to go and take that idea and now go down to a smaller model of just three bodies, the sun, the earth, and the moon, okay? The earth is revolving on its axis, and it has seasons, and we have seasons in our life. Winter, summer, winter, spring, summer, and fall. Okay? And we have a dark side and we have a light side. And we have a moon that shines from reflected light from the sun, but the moon itself is dead. There's no light there. In the Bible, I believe the moon represents the law. There's no life in the law. It's cut and dry. You do it, and the law was given so that we could see that we can't keep it, but there would be one that would keep it, okay? But there's also the sun that shines directly on the earth, on our lighted side, right? I believe that represents our new nature. We have direct sunlight to our new nature, but we need the law at night in those times when we want to be dark, and it gives us rules and regulations, and it's good for our society to follow those rules and regulations in order to have a healthy society. But it brings no spiritual life. It just tells us what we need to do and don't do. Okay? So our old nature needs law, rules and regulations, but our old nature cannot perform these laws in hopes of having a spiritual outcome. And I think that's how religion comes around and says, yeah, if I do this, this, and this, I get to be spiritual. I get to be a child of God. That's not so. We have to depend on the direct sunlight to our lighted side. So the body is represented by that earth. It has a dark side and a light side. Isn't that us? Where it says in the Lord's Prayer that thy kingdom be done in earth as in heaven, God's will is for us to remain in the light of him. So how could I do that? How could I remain in the light when the earth is spinning unless I go 1,000 miles an hour and start out on a lighted side and go in the direction of the sun? I've seen that by flying for Delta, and I've been able to take off from Atlanta at 10:45 and land in Korea 17 hours later at 3:05 in the afternoon, but it's the next day and it was never dark. So we can, the question is, how can we stay close to the Lord to where we remain in his light? We've got to move with the light. We can't stay in darkness. We can't, if I want to stay in darkness the whole time, I would do the same thing. I'd be on the dark side and go 1,000 miles an hour in darkness, and I would remain in darkness. So that's the question. What is our manifestation in this life? Are we following the light of God, or are we following our dark side? Okay. So then I want to give some examples of illustrated in the Bible by that holy city that says that Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is the light thereof. There's no darkness in that city. Okay, that is a choice we have to make. Do we remain in that city? But we know we don't. We sin. We go out of the walls. We go into darkness where it says that it's not a good place to be. And then I believe we can see another example. It's a broad road to destruction. We don't even know where we're going. We're groping around in darkness when we're outside the city. That city is available to us today in our life. If we want to remain in the light, we got to be inside the walls of the city. And that inside the city is the tree of life. So here it is. We have the tree of life in the beginning, at the end in Revelation, and it was at the beginning in Genesis. And there's something interesting about that tree of knowledge of good and evil. That sounds like good is light and evil is darkness. So before Adam sinned against God and said, I will eat this fruit, he was good. He was in perfection, a state of perfection. He did not know good and evil. But soon as he sinned, now he knows good and evil. Now he has. And when he was born again, which he was, when the Lord, it is shown, he feared God and he was clothed with the animal skins. I believe that pictures him being born again. He had to deal the rest of his life with good and evil. Don't we have to deal with that every day of our life? Every day. And it says in the Bible that when the Lord was questioned by a man, you know, he said, thou a good master. And the Lord asked him why he called him good. He said, there's none good but God. It's interesting that God is good, right? He is good, and I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is part of that Godhead, and He's good also. He's not saying that I'm not good. God is good. But we have our darkness that will take us into places that we shouldn't go, as if we could head off like the earth away from our sun and head out into the deep space, whatever. He keeps us close to Him, allows us to be on the side of our earth that's dark, and then He leads us to repentance, and we see that where we have erred, and we need to come back to Him in repentance, and we need to also remain in that city and stay away from the outer walls where you have those 12 gates that lead out into darkness. And finally, I want to just share some verses that kind of summate, put some things in summary. In what we just shared, in Colossians 1:12-17, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." In Ephesians 5:8-17, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and God Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And finally, in closing, I want to read Romans 6:3-14. And before I read that, I want everybody to remember that Jesus Christ was made to be sin, our darkness, who knew no sin, for 3 hours, from 12 or the sixth hour through the ninth hour. He was dead to God. There was no connection, no fellowship. He was made our darkness so that we could be made the righteousness of Christ in Him. And we need to keep that in mind, that He bore our sin, that He tasted death for all the children of God whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is the reason why we have light as His children and have the opportunity to walk as children of light. Romans 6:3-14. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Thank our Lord Jesus Christ that he defeated death, he defeated our darkness, and gave us the light of his life in us. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before thee, Father, with such thanksgiving, Lord, that you would be so merciful to us as your created beings, Lord, that are created to glorify thee in our bodies that you have given us, and that you would help us to remain in the light, thy light, so that we could walk as children of light. Please help us to remember, Father, our many blessings that are available through this light, that we can be acceptable in thee through Jesus Christ, and that we don't have to walk as children of darkness anymore, that we could renounce those things of darkness, and that we could repent and come to thee, Lord. Help us to desire to be in that holy city, Father, more often. And the days that we are in darkness outside, may we run to the city and experience the tree of life and the Lamb that is in the center, Father. Thank you for all your love and blessings. We thank you for what has gone, what will be coming before us with Brother Marty. We ask that you would bless him, Father. We ask that you would bless the sick and those that need thy grace, Father, in healing power. Thank you that the Son of Righteousness has healing in his wings. Thank you for your love, and thank you for this day, and may we proclaim, Father, thy goodness in the light of the world. In Christ's name, amen.